once again, I say you're all very welcome to Shiloh this evening. Let me get a wee drink. We have we sort of started a new series last week. And part of the reason is we're all on this journey of life together. And one of the things, whether we really realize it or not, one of the things we invest a lot of our sort of time and effort in is finding out what the point to life is. You know, what is it in this life that's going to bring me satisfaction? What is it in this life that's going to provide me with life, with something, a purpose, something worth living for? And so easily we just get sort of sidelined into the humdrum of life, and we never even get time to set aside time to think about it. But we're trying to set aside some time and looking at some of the common places that people invest a lot of effort into trying to find some purpose for life, some meaning to life. Keith, for example, looked last week at the bank. Well, really just saying the bank has to sum up wealth, money, possessions, things like that. And that's one of the really common places that people look for some purpose, some meaning, some achievement in this life. But they find out eventually it's a cul-de-sac. It doesn't go anywhere. In fact, it's how we're describing it as it's a dead place. There's no life to be found in wealth. One of the things you'll find that's in common with most of our talks is we're not criticizing any of the things in particular. There's nothing wrong with wealth. Wealth at times can be a blessing from God. So we're not going to sit and criticize that. But what we're pointing out is these things in themselves are never, ever going to provide us with life. Well, today I've got the whole idea of charity, or the charities. And when you say charity, well, when you say charity to me, it conjures up all sorts of different sort of images flash before me. The very first is the charity box. You know, it's something that we've all grown up with, the charity box, whether it's the one sitting in the shop that you put your pennies and 2p's in after when you get your change, or whether it's a person down the street. You know, some of them will just stand there gently, and some of them will put it right up to your face, or if your kids are with you, they'll chew you the stickers, you know. Or maybe it's the advert on TV, and these really grip me, I have to say personally. I am a generous person, please believe me. I like the whole idea of charity, but some of their methods really grip me. The TV adverts. The reason I dislike the TV adverts is I'm pretty sure it's always the same people that fall for them, and it's very often the people that can least afford to be charitable. We've seen an influx of charity shops down Bangor. If you have any children as relatives or friends, you'll have them coming up with their sponsorship forms, doing all sorts of silly and ridiculous things to earn money for charity. I certainly know our kids over in Bloomfield, they have designated charities that they sort of change every year. They pick a couple of charities to support. Northern Ireland, as it turns out, is the most generous province of the most generous part of the United Kingdom. We give more per person than anyone else. And in fact, if you take the communities like we live in round about us here, they are the most generous. And you find that it's the people who maybe have the least that provide or that prove to be the most generous. I asked Jenny to read that passage from Matthew 25, and to me, it sums up what charity's about. What was it? It said, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Really, those are the sort of things that I see as the purpose of charity, is to provide for those people that are less fortunate than us. Keith was praying for the people in Nepal, and you see people like that whose lives are wiped out and whose everything that they have is gone, and you see the charity adverts on TV, and those adverts I do like, where we can provide those people with something that they need. It's providing people with something that they need, and it's at cost to yourself. That's the other thing I love about charity. Charity isn't about doing something that doesn't cost you anything. It's a cost to yourself. You see, charity is good. I said that at the start. We're not criticizing these things. And many of the charities out there are very, very good. I would even go so far as to say that charity is godly. Because, as John pointed out right at the start, God is an extremely charitable God. He is a God that is generous beyond our imagination. He goes beyond what anyone would ever expect of anybody, let alone the God of the universe, in his generosity. He is a charitable God. And of course, charity, you see, is just one of the characteristics of love. And we know that God is love. The passage that we read, and if you go to read the full passage, it's contrasting those who are charitable and those who are not charitable. And the consequences in God's eyes of not being charitable. But the passage shows us, and there's many others like it, how important charity is to God. That practical care for those people in our communities and in the world around us who are less fortunate than ourselves, but at cost to ourselves. One of the problems over the years is that Christ or Jesus has become associated with just being a good man, a man who does good. And Christians as well, we have been, what is it people call us? Do-gooders, because that's what Christianity is. It's about doing good. It's about being charitable. And in many people's eyes, they equate the church with a charity. The church is there just to do good, just to collect food, to give out food hampers at Christmas, just to collect clothes, to provide money so that we can give money to the poor. That's what church is about. We're do-gooders. We're good living people, just as the person we follow, Jesus, was a good man. But of course, we know that that's very, very far from the truth. So my question is, does doing good bring us life? That's the whole idea of this series is about searching for life. Does doing good bring us closer to receiving life? Does it bring us contentment? Does it bring us satisfaction? Does it give us something to cling on to? Certainly, in my experience and in the experience and listening to other people, being charitable does make you feel good. It does bring a certain amount of satisfaction. The only problem is that it's only very temporary. It's like all these things. It's like taking a drug. It only lasts for so long. Does doing good bring you life? Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 10, very easy to remember, John 10 and 10. Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus obviously thought that there was more to life than simply doing good. God had already given his Ten Commandments, you know, the sort of the rules for being good as many people see them. But Jesus insisted that it was necessary for him to come for us to receive life. "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." Why did Jesus have to come for us to have life? Surely God could just have reiterated the Ten Commandments. Maybe he could have made them the 20 Commandments. And surely that would have been enough if we had been able to do enough good by obeying those 20 commandments as best we could. Surely that would have brought us life. No, because doing good never gets us into God's good books. You see, sometimes we view God a bit like Santa Claus. You know, we threaten our kids, you know, "You'll not be on Santa's good list if you don't do enough good. If you don't help mommy with the dishes, you'll not be on Santa's good list." And we see God just in the same way. We think if we do enough good, we'll get into God's good books. But Jesus said, "No, no, no, no. I have come that you may have life." Jesus came, and as you know from us Christians telling you this often enough, He came so that he might die. And I'm not going to get into the 100 reasons why Jesus had to die. But to sum it up, he had to die so that we could live. So that we could receive true life. You see, it was said right at the start. Steph said it right at the very beginning. True life can only be found in Jesus. John was going on about what a generous God is. And how that he has created this abundant universe full of stars. And the thing that always gets me is, even when you're in Uganda, you can only see a wee tiny portion of all the stars. It's just abundance beyond any. There's no necessity to be so abundant, but God is just abundant. He created this world, he created life, and he created life to be lived with him. Life can only be achieved if we live it with God. And the only way we can come to God is through Jesus, the one and only, the source of all things. Then, just a little message on the end here for the Christians. You see, as we come to God and we receive his life, this generous God, this loving God, this charitable God, well, when we start partaking of his life, when his life starts flowing through us, as John said, when those rivers of water start flowing that he pours out in us, well, then we become generous people. We become charitable people. No wonder we get called do-gooders, because surely that the generosity of God should flow through us as we do good to all those around us. And even this passage that we read is a warning to us. Just like in James, faith without works is dead. As that life of God, the life of that abundant color, technicolor God flows through us, so we pour out his life into those around us. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you that you're a charitable God. But Lord, let none of us think that we can achieve life from just being good. Lord, that we can achieve life by being generous to other people, that we can achieve anything on our own. But we could achieve it in gaining wealth, like Keith talked about last week, or whether it could be achieved by giving away wealth, like I've been talking about today. Rather, Lord, let us have our eyes open that we can see it's only in you that we can have life. And we can only come to you through Jesus, your Son, because he came so that we might have a life and have it to the full. Amen.